Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Cardi Gam, put it up, fam.
Yeah.
Straight, baby.
Yeah.
Be down.
You ain't no
shit. I said, ball this. Stand up.
Stand up.
The beans gone city, fam. Ball this.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The beans gone city.
Ball this.
Stand up.
Stand up.
The beans on city, fed balls,
stand up,
stand up.
The beans on city.
One time, say the name. One time, where we at? Bring it back home over the Celtics, the Bees and the Patriots. Red Sox swinging, we beat down slugging. Aerosmith rocking out the big North Garden. Y'all don't want Pepsi, y'all want Cardi. C-Dot, 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 Roddy. I'm the only rapper alive, bring metal like this. My life shows a vibe, start a riot like this. From South Carolina to Southie, Roxbury, Manapin, Dorchester, Somerville, Winter Hills, J.P., E.C., Nancy. Y'all want Cardi, Rolling, stand up, suburbs, Lowell, Lawrence, this, that, murder, three strikes, man, y'all know what it means, y'all don't get it, y'all ain't from the beans.
Ball shit, stand up,
stand up,
the beans go city, man, ball shit, stand up,
stand up,
the beans go city,
ball shit, stand up,
stand up,
the beans go city, man, ball shit,
stand up,
stand up.
Well, good evening to the Diamond on the Rough show with Mountain Man slash Chris, and we will be having Bill in about a minute or two. Here he is, speak of the devil. Good evening, Bill. How you doing this evening?
Good evening, Mountain Man. I'm doing great. How are you?
No, I'm not doing too bad, not doing too bad. We got a little housekeeping here to do real quick. If you'd like to call in, have questions, comments, queries, whatever, our call-in numbers are 1-347-989-1473. Or if you incur a toll call, you could also call us at 1-877-907-7217, or you can look us up on Blog Talk Radio and go to Ordinary Woman and look us up that way. Or if you have a smartphone, you can also go to Blog Talk Radio and listen to us there on our little radio icon there that they have, and excuse me there, I had to turn my volume down, don't know why, but anyhow, so, and there's one or two other ways I totally forget right this minute, but hey, that is fine, and also, so what's been going on, Bill, what's happening?
Hey, we did very, very well at the film festival. We were not only nominated for Best Feature Film at the LA Film Festival, the international one, we actually won Best Feature Film.
Awesome. That is great. That is great to hear. I heard something about that because I do get the shows after they are completed. So I did hear, I did listen to the show, the last few shows, and I did hear that your nomination did very well, which is awesome.
Thank you. We're very, very happy. A lot of people worked hard on that film, and they deserve that recognition.
Yes, they did, and I'm sure everyone had a great time that was at the shoots, and I know it was a lot of hard work, and I know it does take a lot of work to get a film piece done, doesn't it?
Actually, yeah. Even a short film can take a lot of hard work and dedication. Feature films just even more so. But we did have a great time. I don't think there was ever a day when people didn't have some kind of fun on the set. So that's a good thing. We enjoyed it. The world carpet red carpet premiere, the world premiere red carpet premiere for Scooter Magruder will be May 12th in Portland, Maine at the Nickelodeon Cinemas at 7 p.m. We're proud to say that. Charlie's going to be excited because she's in the film. And we hope to have a good turnout.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That really does sound awesome. And and we'll put that up in on our blog later down the road, because Charlie usually ends up posting that stuff. I know she usually posts something up in their chat room. But if you want to post that in our chat room, Bill, that will be great, because I see you're in there. And hello to guest 9769 and 9731. Hello, welcome to the Diamond on the Rough show. And for those of you who are listening, it's great to have you with us. Unfortunately, Charlie had a prior engagement she had to do. So, for our regular listeners, I am back for the night, and I'm happy. I'm doing okay. I'm still having some rough issues, but we're here, and we're doing the show this evening with Bill McLean or McLean. I can't.
McLean. It's the Scottish pronunciation, McLean.
Oh, McLean. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
kind of like
you,
when
because
you, when you, yeah, no problem. When you pronounce McLeod, but it's spelled McLeod.
Okay.
The E comes before the A, so it's just the Scottish pronunciation. But yes, it's McLean. I am Bill McLean from McLean McLean.
Oh, that is awesome. So I'm just so happy. We've got an exciting show for you tonight. We've got the famous Miss Kristen coming on the show. She's a phenomenal artist, as well as Mo Nitti. He's also a phenomenal actor. He's a talented young man. So we've got two very talented people coming on the show. And okay. I'm sorry there. I just had a brain moment there. So don't mind us.
That happened. So who do we got coming on first? Is it Miss Kristen?
It looks like it's going to be Miss Kristen.
Nice.
And then it will be Mo Nitti.
Mo Nitti.
On our second hour. So it's a two-hour show. And it is an awesome show. I love the show. I love doing the show, and I know a lot of our listeners probably have, missed me, but I'm doing well. I know I did call in, I think it was last week or the week before I called in, because I had some other stuff going on, and I am going to be having some other stuff going on for a while. If you don't mind, Bill, I think I'm going to play I'll wait. Never mind. I'll wait till I see her, because I am going to have to screen the call. So in those times of screening calls, I'm going to have you just talk about whatever.
Sure.
That's one thing I forgot to previously mentioned earlier as we talked. I forgot. It totally blew my mind.
Okay. You just say, hey, Bill, go, and I'll go.
That's good. Hello, Andy. And I know Andy will help us out there, too. And it's good to have everybody here. And I was going to play one of Miss Kristen's songs, but I think I'm going to wait a few minutes. And then I'll play one of her songs. This is Mountain Man / Chris with Bill, the gracious host for this evening. Charlie has a previous engagement, so she got stuck, had asked me if I would do the show tonight, so here I am.
I'm just going to say this, Chris. I'll bet everybody's glad that you're back on the show. I certainly am glad that you're feeling better.
Yes, I am too. And I'm searching between. I've got the full gamut over here. I've got the switchboard. I've got the chat room up. So I'm going between everything. And every so often, when I see somebody popping on, that's when I'll probably chime in and say hello to whoever it is that is coming into the chat room. But anyhow, again, if anyone has any comments, questions for the guest, comments, or just want to say hello, please feel free to call in. And Bill, you're going to have to go for a couple minutes because I got to go do something over here.
Okay. So feel free to call in. Yeah, feel free to call in at those numbers. If you can't call in, feel free to log in and type something out. We're both online here. We're both reading, so we'll be able to read the questions and try and answer them best we can for you. Charlie's out this evening, so I'm stepping in to see if I can help out. I will do my best. It's not something I normally do, but she's a really good friend, and I told her, hey, you got to try anything once, so here we go. Let's see. Oh, let's talk about some of the current things going on in New England right now. There's a couple of movies being filmed up here. Lower the Booms now. In fact, Charlie's working on that tonight. I'm not sure in what capacity, but I know that when they film things in Boston area, New England area, they generally hire a lot of local people, which is nice. You know, film comes to town, and when they hire, people in your town make money, and that's always a good thing. Up here in Maine, they're trying to bring some films up to Maine to get some extra economy boost going. And matter of fact, I got a phone call from from one of the legislators the other day, invited me to his house to talk about what I'm doing in film. He saw me in the newspaper with the whole Scooter Magruder thing. And I went over to his place. We talked about filmmaking in Maine, what I'm doing, what I'm trying to do, because it's not just Maine. I happen to live in Maine, but I want to provide jobs for people in Maine and New England in film. You know, it's kind of nice to be able to do what you love to do and get paid for it. So that's what I'm working on. I have a battle plan. We shared it. And then he invited me to the legislature, which was awesome. I went in there yesterday. I got stood up in front of the entire legislature for the state of Maine. They had me say a few words. They introduced me. It was a pretty interesting experience. Had a great time. Let's see. So I know he's out there somewhere doing something important, so I'm just going to keep going. Does anyone have any questions? Would anyone like to call in? The number is 347-989-1473. Tonight we're going to be talking to Miss Kristen, an amazing artist. She's got a very, what I would call, rich, powerful voice. I enjoyed listening to her songs. My favorite so far is Sometimes You Win. Which I'll be talking to her about that and others when she gets on the show. And then after the first hour, the second hour, we will be interviewing the next guy up, which is Joe Nitti, which is pretty cool. He's got some pretty neat things that he's done, very talented young man. I see some rap music, some acting, things like that, so we'll discuss his stuff as well.
Well, actually, Bill, I think we're going to reverse those roles, and I think Mo is going to come on first.
All right.
And hopefully we'll have Kristen on for our next hour. I think some information had gotten confused, and I have Mr. Mo Nitti on with us, so we'll do him first, and then we'll do Miss Kristen on her second hour. So, hello, Mo, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Mr. Mo, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well, considering I wasn't doing so great last night, but I'm doing well now.
Oh, well, that's good. You had a bad one last night, did you?
Oh, you know, it was something just a sickness came on, like, suddenly.
Oh.
One minute I'm eating dinner, the next minute I'm shaking like I'm having a seizure. It was bad.
Wow. Wow. Well, we're glad you came through, buddy. We're glad you're on tonight. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I guess I have a better immune system than most. It only lasted for a couple of hours, and I got better.
Wow. Sounds like it might have been a mild case of food poisoning. That can happen. Ouch.
Yeah, that definitely can happen. Might have been God telling me to slow down.
He has a way of doing that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. So, Mo, let's see. Let's take a look here. How long have you been in the entertainment industry as far as the music goes?
Since 96.
Oh, 1996.
Sounds like a long time, don't it?
That is a long time.
Well, you stick around and you take your bumps and your bruises, and over the years you actually learn something.
True.
That is awesome.
True. So, but that's great that you've been doing it that long. That means you've got some experience. You've seen a lot of things. I'm sure you've had some good times and some bad times. Good question for you would be, which do you prefer more, singing, entertaining, or more the acting thing?
Well, I'm into a lot of different things right now. It's more of a rapper. I don't really do any singing. I try to, but not at all. Between rapping and... I actually have my own radio show that I do on Fridays.
That's awesome.
Enjoying the hosting aspect. And I have written and published some books, some poetry books, that I actually just got tired of promoting them. Got burned out doing a lot of book signings. So I've done a lot of things. And
right.
What I like doing, I just like chasing success. I don't really have a lane that I like to ride in. Anything that's leading towards success, that's what I like to do.
That's awesome. You were saying about the poetry books. One would be State of Confusion.
Yeah, the State of Confusion poetry book. And then the other one was the What's Your Paranoia?
Yep, What's Your Paranoia? I like the sound. I like the names of both of those, actually. They're strong names. I can see that you're good at the writing thing.
Yeah, they did well. You know I sent y'all a bio and some pics and so forth. I'm not sure if I sent any music your way, though.
But I took the liberty of sneaking on to online and punched in your name. I did this stuff up, watched a couple of things, and I really enjoyed it. So,
well, did you happen to get the track title Better Than Your Baby Daddy?
I didn't see that one, but I could check it out.
This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm actually sitting at my computer while we're talking.
If you don't mind,
I'd like to email it to you right now.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. My email. Do you want to send it to Chris at The Ordinary Woman or to me?
I want to send it directly to you.
Okay, that would be bill.mclean, MCLEAN, @yahoo.com.
Okay, let me make sure I have this right, Bill. Sure. Bill McLean, Bill dot. McLean, MCLAIN?
EAN.
EAN.
Yep. Okay. MCLEAN.
Just one,
number one.
Two, please.
Yeah, just number, and then a number one, and then yahoo.com.
Oh. And is that one C or two C's?
Oh, one C, boss, yeah. MCLEAN, number one.
Like McLean, it almost looks like.
Yeah, it looks like McLean.
McLean, that's what's up. I'm going to shoot this to you, and I hope you, by the end of the interview, I hope you get a chance to play it, and I hope you actually enjoy it. This track here called Better Than Your Baby Daddy is a song that I have performed up and down the East Coast at a lot of different places, from here to Indiana, Pittsburgh, Ohio, Chicago, so forth. And every time I do this track, there's always some guy in the audience that gets a little bent out of shape. And that's how you know your music is good. When you can do something that touches somebody's nerves, that means you've done something right.
That's a fact. When you can touch a nerve, then you know you're entertaining. You're doing something that they haven't seen every time. And that's a fact.
Well, I met a guy want to fight me over this. I pulled his wife out to perform the song, and I asked him. I asked him if it was okay. And I kept her at arm's length, so I didn't bump and grind on her or nothing like that. And when it was over, he was just very disturbed over the song. And I had no idea that the reason why he was so disturbed was that he knew that his wife was cheating on him. And so that title, Better Than Your Baby Daddy, it just bothered him when he wanted to fight me over. Like, dude, I asked you. He said it was okay. So, hey, I'm sorry that you married a whore. That's your problem, not mine.
Yes. Ouch. Yeah, that'll touch a nerve. Wow. And what city was that in, boss?
That was here in Michigan. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and that was here in the hometown.
Detroit.
Yeah, but I had an outstanding response to the song in Indianapolis. I went there to a show that I'd been invited to, and it was at Ice Ultra Lounge, which is downtown Indianapolis. And the artists that were already there, they were performing and people were kind of like paying attention. And everything is about promotion. You have to really set it up that you're going to be there. So I got there early. I helped the manager take the chairs off the bar, set up. I was there that early.
Wow,
I put posters up in all the bathrooms with my face on it. I even took a picture of me with my shirt off and handed that out to all the ladies that came through the door. So when they finally introduced Mo Nitti is coming up, everybody already knew exactly who they was talking about because it's the guy with his clothes off on this picture. So I get up there, and I almost thought I was about to get jumped by the club because everybody just runs to the front, and I'm nervous because it wasn't really a stage area. I was kind of like on the floor, and they just charged me. And I was like, DJ, please just cut some music off. So they cut the music on. I did the performance. The people really loved it. They got into it. Everybody wanted their picture signed. I sold a shitload of CDs. It was awesome.
And, that's awesome.
This is really something that a lot of artists don't understand nowadays about how to make money off your music. And a lot of it comes from having a personality. The talent part is so far behind as far as being on a pedestal, what's important. The talent is at the bottom. You got to have business sense, and you got to have a personality. Nobody follows and supports financially people they don't like.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's very true. I don't do the music side. I do the acting side, and if they don't like you, you don't get hired. It's that simple.
It is really. I tell this to a lot of artists in all aspects, even with my books. I was selling out of books. I just got tired, so I quit selling them.
Really, you got the old wrist lock going from signing so many autographs, huh?
Oh, you know, it wasn't even the autograph part. It was people would get an autograph, and then they'll talk me to death over something that they read or they seen me here, and I'm such a nice guy and this and that. And even a nice guy gets a little tired after a while of dealing with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just... It was a little wear and tear when you go from city to city doing book signings, and after a while it gets tiresome.
I can imagine, because it can get really, really tiring and just physically draining. You know, not that you don't want to do it, you're just so tired. You need to get a break. Take a break.
Exactly, and that's what happened with me. I really enjoyed the music part. I really enjoyed the books. Even performing, I've been slowing down my performances because I was bouncing in and out of state very often to do a lot of shows.
Right.
To the point that when I went back to Indianapolis, they already knew me. I mean, I was walking the streets. I didn't even get to the club. The guy say, "You the Mo Nitti guy, right?" I say, "Yeah." So you're the guy with that Better Than the Baby Daddy song, right? I say, "Yeah, that's me. I live all the way in Michigan. You remember that, huh?"
That's always a good feeling, too, when someone on the streets tracks you down.
It's a good feeling when they track you down. It's an even better feeling when you're not in your hometown and they know you.
Right, exactly. You're out of town. You're out of state. Hey, I know you. Aren't you that guy? That is a great feeling. Are you that guy? Yeah. Hey, when you were telling me about you took your shirt off, took some pictures, and handed them out to the women, I tried that once on the set, and everybody ran screaming. So you must have had better.
Well, you know, I'm not 50 Cent by a long shot, but I'm far from being Fat Joe, so I'm somewhere in the middle.
There you go. Somewhere in the middle is good. That's where I am.
Right.
So, hey,
a few extra pounds isn't going to hurt anybody.
Well, I'm getting older, so it's getting harder to drop the pounds.
Oh, isn't that a fact, man? We're not 18 anymore, are we?
No, I'm only 21.
I'm only 21. You're just a young fella.
No, I'm actually 35, but
I was going to ask you how many times you'd celebrated the 21-year anniversary.
Oh, a long time. I'm 35. I went to pick my daughter up from school, and her teacher thought I was her big brother. She said, I cannot get that. He looks way too young.
There you go. You got it good, then.
Hey, I'm trying to keep it like that.
Yeah, it's harder every year, man, but that's good that you're trying. I got a question for you. What is your favorite part of writing a song when you write a song? Can you tell our listeners?
You know what? I think the music out right now, it just has nothing behind it. Like, and I'm not trying to sound like the classic guy that hating on a cat that had a bomb track and was able to make a lot of money off of it. I'm talking as a fan of music. The music has nothing behind it, no substance. My favorite part is finding a subject to write about and then being true to that subject from the front to the back. Like, I actually write in story form. I have an introduction, then it peaks, and then it has a conclusion. And this is how you would write a story. And a song should be the same way. It should be descriptive. I should be able to close my eyes and visualize the song as it's playing. Because I can't see a picture of it. It doesn't show a picture. It's all audio. And so it should actually feed me a picture as I'm listening to it. When you listen to a lot of this garbage on the radio, there's no picture painted. It's a good beat, which is nice, but you take the beat away, they're not really saying anything worth listening to.
You know, that's very true. I'll tell you what, I'm already a big fan of yours, even after just meeting you. I agree 100%. Very few people are putting any kind of substance behind what they're doing. The crap that they're putting out today on the major labels, there's no story to the song. The ones that do well are the ones with story. Different segment, but country music. I listen to all kinds of different musics, but country music, they normally have a story to them, and that's why it's so popular. You know, rock and roll, some rock and roll songs have stories, some don't. Rap, I've listened to a few rap songs that had great, you know, start, beginning, and middle and end, like your stuff. And then
right.
I just listen to stuff that anybody could write that crap. You know, it's I agree with you. That's a really good point. And I'm glad that you're doing that, because that really will make a difference as far as the music industry goes.
It's funny that you say that about the country music, because I had told somebody that I used to listen to Reba McEntire. And they say, well, black man listening to country when he's young. I say, well, first of all, I thought she was sexy, so that.
Yeah.
But aside from thinking she was sexy, like you said, the music had a story to it. And so
yeah.
I think when cats understand how important that is to do music that has some type of substance to it, you'll start, and you can still put that with a great beat. Then you'll have a song that defies time. You'll have the next Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. That song, I don't care what type of music you listen to, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because that song is a classic. It's not a classic because Marvin Gaye said it was classic. It's a classic because the people who continue to listen to it right now said it's a classic, because we still listen to
it. That's a fact. You know, he knew how to tell a story. And the beat was awesome. You know, it's I was watching something on TV a few months ago, and Michael Jackson was saying, you know, the first thing you need is a really great bass beat. You get a really great bass beat, and then you write a story. And that's what he said. Those were his exact words, if I remember right. And, yeah, you know, good beat, a real story, you got a good song.
Yes, you know, that there. Now, when you were asking me about the acting part, I'm only fortunate enough to keep being a cop in every movie that I've acted in. So I haven't had a chance to show any diversity, but hopefully that'll change.
Well, hopefully that'll come along. Well,
you'll be able to show some diversity soon enough. You'll see it.
Well, you know, I don't mind playing the cop. It don't necessarily bother me. Somebody's got to do it. I'm told I look the part well before I actually play it. So I say, hey, I'll do it.
I'm
convincing at it, why not?
Yes, why not? And, hey, you know, being typecast, you said you've done two or three or four. Being typecast is no big deal, because once you do enough, someone will come along and go, hey, Mo, I got a question for you. you know, I've got this film coming up, and I'm looking for a guy that's your look, your age, and I need him to be a serial killer. Can you handle that? Someone will come along some point and give me something that's a little bit more difficult to do. It's
but they'll probably tell me we want you to play the cop that catches the serial killer.
Right, play the cop that catches the serial killer. Well, hey, you know, you're talking to the right guy today. I actually own Freight Train Films Incorporated, and I'm always looking for new talent for my films, and I have a wide array of characters. I'm the kind of writer that when I write a script, I don't write everybody's 18 to 25. I write people are, you know, 6 to 96, and I use characters of all ages. I try and involve as many diverse characters as I can, not just age-wise, you know, race, whatever I can do to make it more American, more of a little bit of everything. That's what I try and do. So it's great to meet you. You should definitely check out my website, freighttrainfilms.com, and because I have a lot of new projects coming up over the next couple of years, and we only do feature film for the most part, and we're always looking for actors. So it's nice to meet you that way.
Hey, well, what do you end up filming at?
We film all over New England, but you know, like you live in Chicago, you said.
I'm actually in Michigan. Yep.
Michigan. Yeah, you live in Michigan. I have another actor that just flew up from what was it, West Virginia, that flew up here to shoot some stuff with us on a weekend for a trailer that we're doing for a feature film. So if I like you, I'll fly you in. That ain't no big deal.
That's what's up. Yeah, I definitely love to do anything. I jump on any opportunities. That's how come I am where I am now. Even though I'm as a promoter, I'm more so these days known as a promoter and a radio host. And with my showcases that I do them different than other promoters do. There's a lot of promoters out here doing open mics, and they give it a special title. But at the end of the day, they still got artists signing their names from 1 to 25. And making them wait to go on until the place fills up. So I don't know how it works across the country, but here in Michigan, let's say they'll tell you it opens at 9, but they won't start the performances till 11:30, but you got to close the club at 2. And nobody wants to sit around all day listening to a bunch of damn local music that they've never heard before in their life. It doesn't mean that they're hating on those artists, but it's only so much new music that you're willing to take in, because everybody naturally wants to hear what they're familiar with. They want to hear what they hear on the radio. And unfortunately, it might be sad, but that's the truth. And
it's
so what I do at my shows, I just have a few acts up, and then I actually have entertainment before it. I might bring a comedian. I've had a fire twirler come out. I've had a silhouette dancer come out behind the curtain. I've had a disco roller skater come out and entertain before the show. Maybe put about 5 acts up and then shut it down early and party the night away.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. You're an entertainer, man. You're an entertainer.
My thing is to give people their money for it. If you invite somebody out, like if somebody's paying $10, and I also give free drinks with cover too, so, and I give out free CDs. I bring different clothing lines out and give out free apparel from them. And so you'll end up getting about $40 worth of stuff for $10. But at the end of the day, it's not about those artists. It's about the people that came to see them. And so for me, giving them a free drink, giving them free CDs, giving them free T-shirts and hats, I don't see that as a waste. I see it as an investment, because now they have an opportunity to come to my showcase and get free things, or pay $10 at another place and get to sit there and just wait till 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to go home. Hey, let's get drunk and get the hell out of here.
And that's pretty much how it works. So, you know, a lot of these showcases they're not that great. And because of the way that I run mine here, the name resonates as far as when you're looking for somewhere to do a show to tell you if you want to get your money's worth, you want to deal with Mo.
That is awesome. I just get the feeling from you that you are a true entertainer, start to finish. Hey, can you take a moment to tell the listeners out there and anybody else, what's the radio show that you do? How do they tune it in? Where's it at? That kind of thing.
Oh, actually, the radio show that I do is called Who's Hot in the Streets Radio, and it's actually a way of broadcasting music from artists that do my Who's Hot in the Streets showcase, and I actually write for Shop Talk magazine, and my column is called Who's Hot in the Streets. It's a full-page write-up of whichever artist I choose for that month, because it's a monthly publication. So, as you can see, that's my brand, Who's Hot in the Streets. The radio show is actually at www.svmixradio.com, and I come on 5 to 7 every Friday. And what I do is I play a lot of local music. Then we'll break. I have a critique segment in it where we'll critique some artist's music, and it's going to be real. And if we don't like it, we're going to tell them this shit's garbage. And if it's good, we'll tell them, hey, we're going to bump this shit next week too. And so a lot of artists, they like the fact that it's really blunt in their face. I bring out guests to talk and so forth, and I even have a tech segment where we'll actually critique technology, tell people what's best in this brand if it's a telephone and what to stay away from over here on this end. And it's very informative for the artist. It really is. So,
you know, you're actually doing them a favor being blunt, because a lot of people, they don't like you telling the truth. But I'll tell you what, as an actor and as a performer, you don't get better unless you listen to the truth and try and use it to make it better, you know, constructive criticism.
Well, I told you I've been out since 96. So when I was doing music, when I was young, like these guys are now, when
right.
you walk up into the club, the same club that Eminem was in and D12 and Royce 5'9 and Proof and so forth, if you weren't
wow.
any good, people booed your ass. I told you, man, that shit was garbage. Don't bring that shit back up. And the next time you step up in here, be real. And it really was just that simple. So for me, I'm only doing what I know how to do. I can't sit here and slap somebody on the back and give them a handshake and say, hey, man, that shit was hot, when I know it was garbage. Man, that was hot. And so I'm sorry if it comes off harsh, but real is real.
Hey, real is real. That's a fact. And honestly, you're doing them more good than harm when you do that. You're
yeah,
also possibly saving a lot of people from having to listen to it.
Yeah, and I think that if, for me, because I had, when I first started doing my music, I had a lot of yes people around me too. And we all
yep.
do. And one time I actually charged this guy to buy a CD. He ended up becoming my friend, and he never mentioned the CD. So I asked him, I said, what you think about the CD? He said, I ain't like none of them, Mo. He's like, that CD was garbage. That's my friend.
Yeah,
my feelings was hurt. Oh, I was very crushed by that. And the only reason
yeah.
why I didn't have a fight, because he was like 300 and some pounds and convinced 600 pounds, so I wasn't going to win that one.
Yeah.
But when I start, I say, you know what? For now, everything I do, I'm going to run it by you. And I start doing music again and writing it with more feeling and more passion. And actually, instead of trying to do everything myself, I actually started incorporating a team, because at the time I was trying to make my own beats, but I wasn't
sure.
really talented enough to make the beats that would fly on the radio. So I said, instead of keep trying to force my sound on somebody, I'm going to go and hire somebody. And I just found some true musicians. And with the true musicians, my sound got better. So when I asked the guy, what do you think now? He's like, man, this shit is night and day. This shit is hot. I don't know what you was doing before. So when I have a guy who's real, who was able to tell me that my shit was garbage, and now telling me this is real, I believe him. And that Better Than
yeah.
Your Baby Daddy song, I've had only one person tell me they don't like that song. I've
wow.
done that song all up and down the East Coast, in front of people left and right, sold thousands of CDs and so forth. And the one lady happened to work at a radio station, and I think that I look like her baby daddy, because she had my picture sitting on her desk when I went there.
Yeah.
And it was actually propped up, like she had been looking at this picture for a while. And I say, wow, you think you know me. I must really look like him, because it didn't even come on good. The beat came on, doom, 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 and she was like, this is garbage. I was like, you ain't even hear the song yet. So I just started laughing while she was telling me how much she didn't like it. She said, why are you laughing? I say, sweetheart, I've done that song in front of probably 30,000 people, and you're the only person ever, I promise, who has said they don't like it. So I said, you know,
right.
for me, it's funny that you feel that way, and that's exactly how I'm taking you as a joke right now. So
yeah. that happens. That happens. It could have been a personal thing for her, too. You never know.
It was. It really was. And it was funny enough, because she ended up submitting my number to some people that wanted to do some business, and they was calling me, and it sounded good. And I said, how y'all get my number? And they said, such and such gave it to me. I hung up on them. And if she referred
oh,
y'all to me, I'm not going to do her a favor and do y'all no business. Get out of here.
There you go. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like that in the industry, any industry. There's people that want to that want to mess with you, even though you've worked your butt off and you get to where you're at because you worked for it, and then they slight you, and then later on when you do something that they have to recognize, now suddenly they're your best friend. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down. So, yeah, I thought it was very funny that now you need me, and I'm supposed to.
Right.
All the stupid stuff that we went through, huh? So, yeah, it was funny to me. And I wanted to say this much for your listeners. If you wanted to follow Mo Nitti's writings at Shop Talk Magazine, you can actually check us out online. It's at shoptalkpublication.com. And you'd go to shoptalkpublication.com and scroll down the right and click the category. And there's two links that are actually my writings. One of them is Ask the Promoter, which is where I give artists a chance to ask me a question that they would normally ask promoters. Here in Michigan, it's like a battle between promoters and rappers. So instead of making it a physical confrontation, just ask me a question. I'll give you the real answer from the promoter's aspect. So,
nice.
And the other one is Ear Hustler, where I actually pick an artist and I do a write up on them. The last artist I wrote up was actually Carl Thomas. He was the R&B singer over there. He was with Bad Boy. I don't know who he with now, but
yeah.
But he came into town, and I had been asked to come down to interview Carl Thomas and Music Soul Child and so forth. And I actually didn't get the Music Soul Child interview because I was so tired. But I thought Mr. Carl Thomas was a good dude. And the interview was pleasant. It's nice meeting him.
Nice. You said the other thing, Shop Talk Publications. Was
yeah,
that
shop.
With an S or just?
S-S-S-H-O-P-T-A-L-K. Publication. Shop Talk Publication.
Okay, and publication, does it have an S on the end or just singular?
No, no S, just singular.
Okay, shoptalkpublication.com. Excellent. We'll check that out.
And I also write for another, man, I do so much stuff here. Like, I almost hate giving interviews because it comes off like me. And at the end of the day, that's the last thing I ever want to do because here in my hometown, I'm already solid as a name. So I don't have to do that. And I know that that's only here. But I was telling some guys before, if you look back at the mob, and I am going there with it, you can look back at organized crime. Those guys were okay with controlling Chicago. They were okay with only controlling this part of Ohio or wherever they were at. They didn't care about ruling the whole world. They just wanted this part right here. And so with me, I got that mentality. I'm really great right here where I'm at. And so if I'm not known in California, it wasn't meant to be, but I'm the shit here in Michigan. So
that's awesome. That's a great way to look at it, you know, because you never know when you never know when the right guy's going to come through there.
Never know. I've had a lot of people who have come here, major league artists, who I've been told that they need to speak with me. Let me see. The last guy who was supposed to but didn't, Young Buck, came here to perform, and I was supposed to interview him. And it didn't go down, and they said the reason why was because he was afraid I was going to ask some 50 Cent questions. I said, I don't want to ask you about 50 Cent. That's between you and 50 Cent. I don't want to ask you about Young. So that didn't go down, but I also missed an interview to interview the gentleman on BET's series, The Game. I don't know if you watched that.
Yeah, it's The Game,
There's a guy who plays Malik. I don't know his real name, but I was supposed to go and interview him, and I got the call late, so I didn't make it down there to do the interview. I get this all the time. Whenever they come in, people want me to do the write-up because they know that I'll put it in the magazine and I'll put it online. And I write for two magazines. I actually write for Urban Connection magazine, too. So they know that I'm going to take this and actually do something with it. So I usually get those calls.
Nice. That is awesome. They're calling you. Hey, I tell you, in film, that's what you want. You want them to call you. That's a good thing.
I get the calls all the time. I've gotten to the point, trust me, in the beginning, it wasn't like this. In the beginning, I couldn't even perform at those spots I was talking about because I wasn't popular. So I'd go in and sit there, and I'd never get a chance to actually rap, and while they was passing the mic to all their homeboys, then after a while, I didn't even have to pay to get in. Hey, Mo in the building. You want to go on? Yeah, I want to go on. So, you know, you got to pay your dues and everything you do, and right now, I'm only getting back what I put in.
Yeah.
I went hard.
That is awesome. Hey, I loved when you said what you love about writing songs, the way you go about it, which is awesome. I'm wondering, and the fans are probably also wondering, and the listeners, what's the least favorite part about writing rap lyrics, rap music?
I don't have a least favorite part. For me, if I had to make up one, would be asking somebody else to do a verse for me. Because when I write my songs, I'm ready to go now. I'm not ready to wait until they're ready. Like, so that would be my biggest thing. Like, I'm working on a song right now. That's I have a Hemi. I got a Durango, and I love my truck with the Hemi.
Yeah.
So I'm writing a song about it, how awesome the engine is. And so
that's awesome.
Hey, drop me some verses. I'm still waiting on those verses. So now when I get off the phone with you, I'm probably just going to finish it myself. That's my
just
biggest
going to do it.
Maybe they don't know the joy of having a Hemi. If you don't, you should get one.
That's a fact. I mean, if they can't be on the same wavelength as you, I get that. You know, you're trying to get it done, and if they can't read your mind or at least be thinking along the same lines, it's difficult to collaborate with people. I know in the film industry, when you write a script and you give it to a director, you really cross your fingers and go, oh, please, God, don't destroy this script. So, yeah, I kind of get that. That's pretty cool. And I was going to ask you what inspires you to write.
Life.
You kind of answered.
Life. You know, I'll take any subject. Actually, the Better Than Your Baby Daddy track, I didn't make that. A gentleman made the beat, a friend of mine, he made the beat, and he sung the hook on it. And he was like, Mo, this is for you. He was like,
nice.
I already put everything together. All you got to do is write the verse. And
nice.
Gave it to me. I called him back the next day, like, I'm finished. At the time, I owned my own recording studio, so I actually wrote it and went up to the studio and dropped it. And so it really was that simple. It wasn't even my ideal. I get that all the time. A lot of guys bring stuff to me and say, I just want you to do this. And they actually come up with the ideas. And they do range. Like, I've done gangster music. I've done love songs. I've done party songs.
Yep.
I just like the right.
There you go. See, you're all around entertainer. And that's great that people they like you so much, they respect you so much, that they're giving you their material and going, hey, we want you to do this.
Well, it's about having a name. This is no different on a local level than it is on a major level. If Steven Spielberg was putting out a movie and had the chance to get Will Smith in that movie, then he's going to put Will Smith in it. If he,
right.
Because everybody knows who Will Smith is. It's not like putting in a guy who we got against. But if he can't afford Will Smith for whatever reason, then he might have to go down to a guy who people really don't know, but he's a great actor, and hopefully it takes off well. But he wants that $20 million Will Smith. That's what he wants.
Yes, he does. Yeah, that's a fact.
So
and you're right. It's all about self-promotion. It's getting your name out there. I would take it that you don't have an agent. You do this all yourself, correct?
Yeah, I do it myself. A lot of these cats, they think they are very, they think they're very slick. But I see it coming, and I still play the game. Like, a guy invited me to come out and perform at one of his spots. He said, you know, if anybody that come with you, you know, they're on us and this and that. Anything you need, any perks, blah 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 blah. We don't want nothing from you. The only thing we want is for you to just advertise our show on your radios. You don't want anything. You just want me to basically not charge you for advertisement and just do
it. and it gets to be more and more. The bigger you get, the more that happens, right?
You know, I'm a giver anyway, so it doesn't bother me. I like helping people. I mean, I took on a young dude when I was I've been doing shows for about 8 years. And I took on a young dude who wanted to learn how to make money at this, and he just kind of came under my wing, and he's been making a boatload of money with just listening to what I asked him to do and so forth, and really just following my lead to the T. No questions, never questioned anything I asked him to do, no matter how off the wall it may seem. He's just done it. And that is my biggest accomplishment right there. That's my biggest paying it forward right there, catching this guy. His name's D. Martin. If you catch him on MySpace, Twitter, Facebook, wherever, it's D.Martin, MARTIN. Great young dude. And like I say, that actually is my greatest accomplishment right now.
That's beautiful. That's amazing because you're a mentor. You know, you're helping someone that you didn't have to help, but you feel you need to. That proves that you're a good guy, you know. I love working with people like that. There aren't enough Monitties out there, people that want to help people just to be friendly and help them.
Well, I tell a lot of these cats here that it hasn't always been that way, because you go through growing phases. Like, I'm 35 now. I'm not 20. So, yeah, when I was younger, I might have had this take over the world by myself mentality. But as I get older, I got children, it don't mean anything to me to be the most popular guy, be the best rapper. None of that means anything. It doesn't. So for me to give it all away in the form of knowledge, I don't feel like I'm helping my competition, because it doesn't mean anything to me. So
there you go.
Not to me. If they know everything I know, this young man knows everything I know. I could literally not do anything, and the people here wouldn't miss me, because I lined him up to write his own column in the magazine. And then I lined him up to have his own radio show. I lined him up to do everything that I'm doing. And so he's literally a carbon copy of me.
And now it's his chance. You know, here's to hoping that he paid attention and listened to you.
Oh, he's been doing great, you know, and he's actually getting married and invited me out as the best man. And I didn't know quite as long as people who he put me in front of. And I told him, no, you can't put me as the best man. And you got brothers and childhood friends. But this is what happened when you take a young man under your wing who appreciates it. Like, he was trying to do the mixtape thing by himself, and he wasn't making any money at it. And he just asked me, like, how do I make money? And I said, I'm going to show you. And the first time I gave him a suggestion and he listened, he made like $300. He was like, wow, okay, that's nice. And I showed him again. He made like $600. Showed him again, and he made like $280.
Wow.
But never took a loss. Then the next one after that, he made $1,000. I said, see, this is how you make money off your music here. Like, you don't have to constantly take losses. But it's only the people who get caught in that arrogance. Like, I'm the best rapper alive. I'm the blah, blah. You know, they so caught in their arrogance that they don't learn the damn business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
They don't get it. They don't get it. It sounds like you get it. And it sounds like you're helping that young man to get it, too. And that's an awesome thing. There need to be more people like
that. Leave from the back seat. That's because you can. It don't matter who's driving the car, long as I get there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we did have a question for you, Mo. I don't know if you saw that, Bill. But what is the hardest? What is the hardest thing about writing? And that comes from one of our people in our chat room called Infamous Angel, and that was her question: is what is the hardest thing about writing?
For me, as a writer, the hardest part is the first line. And I've actually taken creative writing classes. I was going to school for journalism and so forth. I was going to school for psychology, but then I switched it to journalism. That first line, because that's the line that leads the rest of the song. Like, if that's not any good, nobody wants to hear the rest of the song, because that's garbage. Like, I have a song right now that I'm pushing. It's almost like a follow-up to Better Than Your Baby Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It's called Say Yes. And what it is a happy time song. It's a song about a little boy and a little girl that meet when they're young. They grow. They liked each other as little boys, little girls, innocent. They grow as a couple. And now he's asking her to marry him, because they've grown through life. They've grown from 12 years old to being adults with a family. So when you do that, anybody who actually just likes reading can take my song and actually just listen to it. And
that is
really
awesome.
It's that first line, you know.
That is awesome. And I know, as I said before, we will be putting stuff up later on our websites for those of us who are listening to us right now.
I wanted to send you the Say Yes song, but apparently I don't have it in a MP3 form. I only have it in a WAV form, and I know I couldn't send that to you. I don't do all of them. Are not that happy time. I got one called You Made Me Do It, and the You Made Me Do It actually almost got me kicked out of a club.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And basically, the song is about spousal abuse.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's about spousal abuse. And what it was saying was, as I told them, I don't condone this, but it happens. And so the song was about a guy beating a woman and putting the blame on her because she pushed him to the brink of doing this.
Right.
And so when I first wrote it, I started it as a poem. And then I said, you know what, this will sound better over a beat because a gentleman who knew I did poetry gave me a poetic beat. And so I was like,
mm-hmm.
fuck it, let me do it as a song. And so that song right there, ladies hated it. And guys would be touched when I go to these places. And they'd be like, yeah, that's right, man. I'm telling you, man, I know exactly what you said in that song, man, because the other day I had to smack my bitch up, man. And she made me, dude. I swear to God, I love her, man. I'd never do that. But she made me, dog. I feel that. And I'm like, that's not why I wrote this song.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah, this isn't giving you free license, pal.
Right.
You're
not going to keep telling your woman that Mo told
right?
you to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you drew a response. The men can identify it. The women don't like it. There's a lot of other songs out there that women love that make men look stupid, you know. So it's entertainment.
It's a catch-22.
You gotta have that. You gotta have something that catches people. And even on this
yes.
day, the first line says, "We started out as childhood friends, a little spark, but nothing serious. I threw passes at you, but you wasn't hearing it. Relentless. I kept on chipping till you caved in. No sex. Your presence was all that I craved then." And see that right there, that line right there. People don't understand that. To actually, like young men, don't understand how to go out with a young lady and not be plotting
right.
on how to get some pussy, like how to get some. And so forth. Like, you can actually just plot on how to have a good time. I lost a lot
right.
of friends when I was young because I wasn't fast enough to get some. And so they would say, he must be gay. I said, I'm not gay. I understood, like, just wanting to spend time, wanting to grow,
yeah.
wanting to, like, walk and hold hands. I was young. I was a young romantic. So I wanted to
yeah.
hold hands. I wanted to go to the movies and sneak my arms around her. I didn't want to, like,
right.
be aggressive and stick my finger in her pants, you know.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being a gentleman. So I was raised that same way myself. So that's just the way I felt.
Yeah, but, you know, women are changing. So after that,
yeah,
I'm getting
lot.
On this two-week plan. Anything that don't happen in 2 weeks, I'm getting a new one.
Yeah.
Like purses, right?
Yeah, I got extreme
wow.
with them. But, yeah, I started out as a young romantic. I just wanted to just have a girlfriend. I think I always wanted to just be in love with a girl. And the more that I kept trying to, the more that I just wasn't succeeding because I wasn't moving fast enough for them. So.
But you know what? You got a girl now and you're happier.
Oh, yeah, I'm great. Life is good.
So there you go. You did it right, man. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
I appreciate
Trust
it.
Trust me, I should send you
you made me do it and let you play that one and see how many ladies tune out.
That would have definitely chased a few off, huh?
Well, I did it at a poetry reading that invited you to do songs, too, but it was a poetry spot. And I said, I'm not going to do a poem. I'm going to do You Made Me Do It. And I looked out, and there was nothing but women in the building at that moment. It might have been two other guys. And I said, I'm going to try it anyway. And I did it without the music, and I did it as a poem. And these ladies, when I got done, normally I get claps. They said, that was Mo Nitty. You could hear a roach crawl across the floor. That's how quiet it was. I was like, wow.
Wrong audience.
Yeah, and I told him, like, look, I'm not telling no guy to beat his woman. I'm just trying to bring songs that spark feelings, period.
Yeah.
I don't beat my woman. I don't put my hands on her. I'm not into that.
Well, there's a new song out right now. Avril Lavigne is singing. You've probably heard it. Where, you know, it's she's basically telling everyone, the boy mostly, you know, hey, I'll do what I want. That's too bad what you want. I don't care. So, I mean, it's just, it really depends on the side of the fence you're on. So there's a lot of it out there.
Yeah, you know, what you have to do something shocking if you want people to pay attention. When I first wrote, I wrote a song about loving my grandmother and my mother and my grandmother being the best women in my life and enjoying my job and feeling blessed, and that job went over people's, that song went over people's heads. It was like, oh,
yep.
Okay, whatever.
Yep.
When I do something like You Made Me Do It and talking about how now I'm sitting in prison because I had to shoot this bitch in the head, now people listening. And a guy had told me that when I first was selling my CDs. He said, you know, I listen to your music. He said, you're very talented, but you're too smart. He said, don't nobody want to be learning nothing when they play music. They want to be ignorant. And the guy told me that. He said, they want to be ignorant, Mo. Stop trying to school everybody through your music, and you'll sell more CDs. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to do that. And I started just writing real ignorant-ass songs. I wrote one called She Gonna Be Coming Tonight. It's just as nasty as they want to be from the front to the back. And the hook, it says something about sticking my finger in her ass. And people still remember that to this day.
Yep.
But they don't remember the love song that I wrote.
Yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, different audiences today have, you know, everyone's so impatient, and I want it now, and I want it now. But do you feel that ignorance just continues to breed ignorance? I mean, I like the fact that you write stories to songs, because that's something that very few people will bother to do. They don't get it.
Well, it do when you have to have an eye-waking experience. Like, I have two daughters that live with me, but I have a son that doesn't. And when I talked to my son, he told me he had saw me on YouTube, and I had posted some nasty songs up there. I'm thinking, like, nowhere in hell my son's supposed to be seeing that shit. So I took it all down, and I had to, like, really reflect back on myself, because I was writing a lot of raunchy songs, pretty much something to catch people's ears as I write it. And then that opened my eye up to where I stopped writing that type of music. I said, you know what, if I can't catch people's ears without doing that, then it meant more to me to be a good father than to be a good artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that type of music anymore. I try not to cuss in my music. I'm not going to say that it don't happen. I try definitely not to use N-words in my songs. And that's because it makes my music more universal. I don't have to feel like because I'm black I can drop the N-word, you know. And a lot of people say, well, how come Eminem outsells? Because Eminem is an artist that can actually cater to majority. People don't have to like this next statement, but it's the truth. And the truth is the majority in the United States is still white. And so they don't understand that. And it doesn't make them a racist white person to not want to hear you saying the nigger word all the time.
Right. That's
so, because now you put that on the flip side, where you put that in your music and you sell them that CD for $15, that man, woman, boy, girl had a right to say whatever they want. So they can pop that CD in right now in your face and be like, yeah, me and my niggas be niggas for life. You can't get
mad.
Right. You sold them that shit.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
It's true.
Music. I want everybody, no matter what your race is, a boy or girl, whatever, I want you to be able to recite my music and feel happy about it and not feel like you got it. Because I have a bunch of friends of different ethnic groups, so I don't want my white friend to be with me and feel like he can't say that because I'm with Mo.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can't believe the time, guys. Time has just flown by. Like,
Charlie
should have
warned y'all. I know I probably sent two bios. Should have warned you that this guy has a lot to talk about. We ain't even touched half of it yet. But
I know, and we are gonna have to have you back, Mo. And I'm sure Charlie will be in touch with you. You have blown us away, and I know there is much more that you have told us in. I'm sure that we are going to be having you back.
Well, I do speakings around Michigan. I do speak, and I'm actually in the process of lining up my own seminars without guest speaking at other people's. And mine is basically going to be to teach artists how to make money off their music. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that artists have. That's how come you have a lot of good artists who end up quitting before they go mainstream. Like, everybody knows somebody who at one time was like, hey, I'm telling you, this guy really could have made it. We all know that person. But I spent my time talking to a lot of big wigs and important people, a lot of owners and music directors and so forth, who all said one thing these artists lack, stamina. They don't have the stamina to keep going. Like, the one time something don't go their way, they quit. If they feel like they're putting too much money behind it and not getting anything back, they quit. Like, they don't have the staying power to sustain the rough times in order to go to the level of success that they're chasing.
Wow. That is awesome. Well, Mo, how can people look you up and all that if they want to chat with you and everything?
Oh, they can Google me, Mo Nitty. That's two words, Mo, M-O-E, second word, Nitty, N-I-T-T-Y. And I say it like that because if you Google me, like 20 pages will pop up of Mo Nitty. But if you just want to narrow it down, I do have a MySpace page, but I'm barely on it. I have two of them, which I'm barely on. I don't do Facebook because everybody I know on Facebook seems to have relationship problems, and I'm good in mine, so I want to keep it that way. But you can go to ReverbNation.com, which is an artist site. You can go to ReverbNation.com/MoNitty, M-O-E-N-I-T-T-Y. You can go to MySpace.com/MrMoNitty, MrMoNitty. And the more popular way to catch me, because I'll actually respond back, is to just follow me on Twitter, @MoNitty, MoNitty.
Nice.
Wow, that is awesome.
Or LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very good. I like LinkedIn because it's almost like a professional MySpace.
Yes, very professional. That's a fact.
I like that. So you can catch me on LinkedIn.com/MoNitty.
Well, thank you very much, Mo, for a great interview. It was really nice to meet you and talk to you. And it's nice to be able to have you get your name out there to a few new people and tell them what you're all about.
Oh, I appreciate it, always. I definitely appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to my spot as a cop in one of these films.
And I'm sure you will get out there.
225, 6 feet. I got some weight on me. I can really get into slamming somebody up against a wall. So if you need,
there you go.
Can make it look convincing.
Nice.
Wow, that is great, Mo. That is great. Hey, and anybody you want to shout out to or anything?
Yeah, I'd like to send a shout out to you guys for having me. And you could have easily said that there was some confusion and called back next week, but you didn't. You made it happen. And that right there is I have a distribution company called Get It Done Distribution, and that's what y'all did. Y'all got it done. And so I'm sending my shouts out to you gentlemen as well as Charlie for the invite.
Well, I'm glad we could make your acquaintance and everything, and I know for a fact that we will most likely have you back at a later time, and I know Charlie will hit you up in everything. And I thank you for coming and joining us, and yes, we did get it done. that I have to say.
Hey, well, fellas, it's been a pleasure. I smell something burning in my house. Let me make sure that I still have a home when I get off this phone, and I look forward to the next time.
Okay.
All
have
right,
a good one.
All right,
have a good one. Thank you again. Wow, that was an awesome, awesome time there, and we really do appreciate him coming in and helping us out here. And I'm just looking around here. Sorry about that, Bill. I'm trying to think. We're still waiting for Miss Kristen to call in.
No problem.
And we do have Miss Infamous Angel out there. And she's our American Idol correspondent on our show. And
nice.
We do have her call in every on a weekly basis. So, and she had asked if she could call in, and I asked her if she could wait a few minutes. So, Infamous Angel, if you're hearing us, if you want to call in, you can call in and give us our updates, as we look forward to having our updates. Speak of the devil, I think this is her. So
there you go.
Let's see. Welcome to the Diamond on the Rough Show. Who's this?
Hello, not a man.
Infamous Angel. How are you doing this evening?
I am good.
Say hello to Bill.
How are you
doing,
guys?
Angel?
I am good.
That's awesome. We're doing really good tonight.
Huh?
What is going on with you there, girl?
Nothing much. Just came on in here to update you guys on American Idol.
Really? So what's
yep.
What's going on in the American Idol aspect of things?
Well, right now it's top eight. There's the eliminations tonight, and there's only two girls, and the rest are guys. There was this one girl named Pia. I don't know if you guys saw her perform last week, but she did good. But supposedly America voted wrong and eliminated her. So
yes,
everybody
I was not happy with that elimination.
Yeah, I was not happy either. She was one of my favorites too.
Wow.
Was she the really young one, the 16-year-old?
No, that's not. No, that's Lauren. The other one. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. America kind of voted it wrong. So it's kind of
disappointing. Yeah, they did, but. What are we going to do nowadays, huh?
I guess. I mean, well, so maybe another American. Maybe she's not the American Idol for this year, so, but there's somebody else that's still there on the. There's like eight other people performing to win America's heart, so.
So what are your predictions now that
so
she's not there?
So I'm thinking, I want to say Haley because she, last night her performance didn't really, like, excite me. It just seemed kind of boring and she didn't, her song choice could have been a whole lot better. So I just have a feeling she might be the next to go.
Yeah. Well, Bill, if you could keep going here for a minute, I got to do something over here. So if you two could chat for a minute, and I'll be
sure
back
thing.
In a second.
Hey, Angel.
Hi,
Bill. Here. So listen, if they vote that girl up, then it's nothing left but guys, huh?
Yeah, well, there's another girl named Lauren on there, but she's pretty good. So.
And Lauren, that is the young lady, right? The youngest
yeah.
one?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Pretty amazing that she's made it this far at the age she's at. So
yep.
I guess they were. I guess they were good in lowering the age for her at this time, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nice. So,
yep.
Angel, you call in quite often and give the update for American Idol?
Yep, every Thursday.
Nice. Is there anybody out there that you want to shout out to?
I'm going to give a shout out to Ordinary Woman.
Yay, Charlie.
Yeah. Anybody else that's American Idol fan, shout outs to them and, you know, and just I'm just calling from my house, but I don't really have and just my family and my friends and stuff.
That's awesome. That's
yep.
great. So, I don't know, let's talk about you a little bit.
All right.
Are you in school? Are you in school?
Yes.
Are you in college?
Yeah, I am.
Nice.
Yep. I'm majoring in office systems and administration, trying to get my associates in science.
That's awesome. Administration
yep.
is good.
Yep.
That's you know, there's some money to be made there. It's a good solid background.
Yep. And it's always updating, and you know, a lot of people need to learn how to use the computers and stuff like that, and the programs on it, like. A whole lot of people, they don't know how to use, like, Microsoft Office, PowerPoint, and all that stuff, so.
Right. That's a fact. Hey, my nephew
yeah.
builds computers. He does a lot of fixing, repairing, and teaching people how to use certain things. So, yeah, it's a good field to be in. He does pretty well.
Yep.
And my man is back.
Hey, there he is.
So,
welcome back, Mountain Man.
Thank you. So did we get the rest of our update and stuff?
Yeah.
Sure I'll be
I just, yeah. I'll just keep you All guys
right.
updated.
All right.
Nice.
Thanks, Infamous Angel.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks, Angel.
Thanks,
have
and
a
have
one.
A good night. And
you too.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, bye.
Well, Bill, we've got our next caller here, so let's bring her on for the next 45 minutes.
Okay.
Miss Kristen, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. Feeling good.
That is awesome. Well, I'm sorry we had a little miscommunication there. We thought we were going to have you on first and then another guest on after, but turns out we reversed it, but that's all right.
Okay.
We made it happen.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because I was told to call in about 5:10 in my time, and I think it's 8:10 your time, something like that, or 8:15, right?
Yes, it is.
You're over there on the East Coast.
Right. Well, we thought we thought we were going to have you. Yes, they do, Bill. Yes, they do. And that is our other host for this evening, Miss Kristen, is Bill. His name is Bill McClain. Bill, take it.
Hi, Miss Kristen. I'm Bill McClain.
Hi, Bill.
And nice to meet you. Charlie asked me to step in and co-host tonight for her. She had some things she had to take care of. Very
okay.
Nice to meet you. I was listening to some of your music today. I just want to tell you right up front, I really enjoy your voice. I found it rich. I found it powerful, like a sensual side to it. Very nice voice.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That really blesses me. Yeah. I love to hear stuff like that. You know, I never tire of it because, you know, there's so many great musicians out there and, you know, everybody's got something special to bring to the table. And as, you know, a unique artist in my own right, it's just really neat when I'm able to reach in and touch somebody. You know what I mean? Because
yes,
that's the whole thing right there.
Yep, I can identify. When I do something on film, I love to watch the audience. I never watch the film. I always watch the audience. And if I can draw a response, that's the same feeling. I know what you mean.
Right.
Yeah. So, Miss Kristen, I took a look at some of your stuff, and I just wanted to say, before we got going too far, my favorite out of some of the stuff that I've listened to, I really liked Sometimes You Win.
Wow, that really blesses me to hear that, too. I like that song, too.
There you go. I really love the really crunchy guitar at the beginning. I'm a huge rock and roll fan, but I also listen to country, I listen to rap. I listen to a lot of different stuff. Each one of my children has their own favorites. I got one that loves country, one that loves rap, one that loves rock and roll. So in this house, listen to a lot. But I love that Sometimes You Win because it had some really great guitar riffs. And, of course,
right.
You're amazing for it. So just wanted to put
right.
that out there for you.
Oh, that's really cool
I
you say that. Can I just interject on that particular
sure.
guitar stuff? It's kind of, it's an awesome thing that I'm so blessed to know somebody so great and talented like Tom Landry, who's my friend, one of my best friends, and also a guitarist that has helped me a lot with a lot of my music. And the thing is with him is when we create, it's so funny because he gets real excited and he'll be like, you know, like almost like a mad scientist where he'll be like, okay, like what could I make this one like, you know? And this particular one, he kind of was like really in a phase of like, with Sometimes You Win, he was in a phase of Rolling Stones and,
right.
Who was the guitar player? Keith Richards. Okay.
Yes,
so he's like, he was totally reading a book on Keith Richards at the time. And he was really excited about Keith Richards. And so he gave it this, like, this total Stones feel. And, you know, at first I was like, I'm not sure about this because it's just different than what I'm used to, right?
Right.
But I love it. And, you know, it's the song is it is what it is, and it's really cool the way it came out. And I just wanted to interject that because you said you like the guitars, and I just wanted to share with you the story behind those guitars a little bit.
That's great. Thank you for that. It's
sure.
good that you decided to do that because I've listened to Face to Face, Superstar, Can You See,
right.
The Lovin' Baby, Free, and when Sometimes You Win came on, I liked them all, but when that came on, it really caught my attention, so I'm happy that you put that guitar in there. You should do more of that.
Well, and I'm sure that I will. In fact, we have some in the works, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, may I ask, Miss Kristen, how long have you been doing the singing and the writing?
I would say it's about 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I've been at it for a long time, and it's my true love. I consider myself first a writer. Okay, so I've written a catalog of some like 2,000 songs. I mean, I just had this like 10-year period where I would shed it, and I just wrote, and I'd sing. I'd practice singing, but I wasn't producing the stuff as much. This was like in the 90s. Okay, so I was like singing and writing. And then when the year 2000 hit, then I started producing. So I took what I had been practicing and all that I'd been writing, and I started to apply it by putting it to music and I had these collections that I felt like some songs fit together with others better, and I started to kind of group things into collections. And, you know, so I have a large body of work that I'm working on, and we have a lot in the works right now. And I'm just really blessed because my passion for writing is what's, you know, my first and foremost love. So it's all good, you know, that's that kind of thing. I mean, some people say, wow, she keeps going. She's like the ever-ready bunny, you know, whatever, you know, keep writing and keep, you know, producing. But, you know, I have a lot of music. So I have a lot that I've written. So, you know, and for me, it's about, you know, let me put it out there because, you know, that's how it touches people and certain things. I'd even like to write for artists and movies and stuff like that as well. So, you know, I'm just producing right now. That's my thing.
Well, nice. That is awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
That is awesome. I know I did also look at your page there, Kristen, and I also liked a few of your songs as well, and I know we have one of your songs on our player that I can see is Can You See?
Right.
And I think we'll probably end up playing that a little bit at the end of our broadcast tonight because we don't have all that much time. So we want to try to get as much info in as possible, and then I think we'll play that song.
Cool.
And I haven't even heard that song. But what inspired you to do that song?
I think it came from a place of, like, where I was, like, feeling like, you know, I'm really a loving, beautiful individual, and I was, like, saying to the world, like I was going off on my own, being single for a while, and I was kind of just saying to the world, you know, can you see the light in my eyes? And, you know, I was just like really enjoying who I was, and I still do, you know. And so what it is really is like, you know, it's a feeling of confidence and beauty and enjoyment of just being. And, you know, that's the mood for the song, and it's rocking, and I call it Come Hither lyrics because I'm talking, it's kind of like a boy meets girl kind of thing where the boy's pretending that he's not looking, or he looks when she's like, looking away, but then, you know, she catches him looking, and you know what I mean? It's that kind of a thing, and, you know, it's that kind of a teaser thing. So I just wrote about that and that feeling of confidence that comes from knowing, you know, that you know, when you're a wonderful person with a heart of love and a good spirit, you know, that there's a light that shines in your eyes, and there's a sparkle, you know, and it doesn't really matter what you look like. It's like that sparkle, you know, that comes in people, you know, and so that's what that song's about.
Wow, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
I
love
hear it.
Yeah, and Tom Landry's on guitar, and he's just so awesomely talented and rocking. It's really fun to have him, you know, share with me in the creativity of it all. So, of some of it, I should say. He's not on all my stuff. He's just on, you know, a portion of it. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question for you. You've written 2,000 songs. That's a lot of writing.
That's
amazing. That's an amazing body of work. If you had to think through it, is there any one in particular that sticks out that you really, really enjoy more than the rest?
You know what? I'm really loving It's a Lovin', Baby, the new one that is coming out. And the reason I like it is because it's saying, you know, you're going to see a lot of funky people. You're going to see, you know, people who are fools in the world. And you're going to see, you know, you don't have to have long hair. You don't have to be anything in particular, you know, to be groovy is what it's about. It's just saying, you know, and it reminds me of like a folk kind of time, almost like, you know, a time in the 60s or something where, you know, people were getting together and they were saying, hey, it's all about love. Let's just, you know, it's a lovin'. And that's what that song is about. And really, I like that one. Now, to be honest with you, I like that one. But when you asked me that question, the first song that came to mind was Torch Song, which is a very sad song, which is on The Runner, my album The Runner. And I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs ever. And it's about carrying a torch for somebody. Let's say you have a woman, we do this a lot. I don't know if guys do, but I know I've seen a lot of girls that do, and I think maybe some guys do. But, you know, anyway, it's like carrying a torch for somebody where you feel like you love them, but you know you can't be together at the time. And everywhere you go, you look and you kind of think, you know, you might see them or maybe they're out there somewhere, and, you know, you just walking around carrying a torch for the person.
And when I
wrote that song, I said to myself, I want to write a great song, like one of the Torch songs from the 40s. And I was listening at the time to Sinead O'Connor and to some of her work, which was that when she did that series of Torch songs and, like, you know, like Coffee, Tea, and Cigarettes, or I forget the name of the album right now,
right.
But it was like,
right.
You know, yeah, some of that stuff. And I was really enjoying her music, that particular album at the time. And I thought to myself, I want to write a Torch song, you know. And so then I kind of just went there. And so that's really one of my favorite songs of all time. But it's kind of dark and a little bit sad. So when you ask me, I named the happy one first because, you know, sometimes I write sad songs or I had like this happy, sad thing going on in my music, right, where it's like
yeah.
I'm like, you know, touching on this. I'm happy, but I'm touching on this sadness. And I think it's just real, you know, but. And I think that's why I have the ability to touch people with my music, because I do go to those places like that. And but anyway, what I'm trying to say is, like, you know, so, you know, not all my songs are happy, not all are sad. They're kind of a mix. So those two are my favorites. So I'll just claim the two as favorites.
That's great. I mean, that's great, because when you can touch people with music, you know, like you said, your favorite. It doesn't have to be happy. It can be sad, too. There's a lot of really good songs out there that are sad. There's some good ones out
that's
there
right.
that are happy. So it's nice to have a mix, but that's really great. Thanks for telling me about the sort of sad one. That's nice stuff, good stuff.
Right. It's a beautiful song, and Tom's guitars are just wonderful. He's using feedback on the guitars. Like, he's not even really playing. He's just doing this feedback thing that is just really cool. And, you know, it's just a pretty song, so... One of my favorites, yeah.
And you're right about carrying the torch. Like, just for instance, tonight, in just a few minutes that I've been talking to you, you're carrying a torch for Tom Landry, which is great. You know, you want to help him, you want to tell people about him, tell him what he's doing. He's very excitable about what he does. I've carried a few torches in my time about some actresses and some actors both. I think everyone does at some point, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to lift up the people that help us on our path, too, you know, the ones who are actually, you know, especially, you know, I mean, he's just really participated. We've done, like, 4 or 5 albums of music together, you know, and I feel that he deserves a lot of credit, you know, for what he's done, and I'll always lift him up. You know, I feel that he's just been a huge blessing to me, and I believe that I'm the same to him, a big blessing to him, too, and he's a writer in his own right, so he writes his own stuff. He has his own music, so, you know, he's working on his stuff. And, you know, right next, I'm going to be carrying a torch for another one soon, too, because I have another guitar player I'm working with on the upcoming album, and this guy's really great, too. He's super creative, and we're having a really great time producing. So, you know, we keep moving along down that musical path as artists, and, you know, it's ever-changing. You know, I guess nothing stays the same, just like life.
Yeah, that's true. And
wow,
it's great that you love to give people the recognition that they've earned, you know. That's a good thing.
Right.
There's so many people out there that are, you know, it's all about me, it's all about me.
Right.
It's nice to know that you're not one of them.
Thank you for saying that. That's very kind. Mm-hmm.
So do you have, like when you write stuff, you do this stuff, do you have an agent that you use?
You know, I was working with an agent for a while, and, you know, the music business has changed so much in that to continue with an agent, I just feel like timing is everything. So at this time, I'm not using an agent. I have a record label. I have a management company. And right now, that's enough for me. I'm a one-woman show over here. You know, I do a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats. And it's all good because I love what I do. I'm a businesswoman and I'm an artist. So I can do both. And the thing is for me, what I feel is most important is to continue to produce my catalog. I don't really worry too much about, like, the gigs and stuff because those will come. They always have. I've never had an issue. I've played live for a long time, and I've had seasons, you know, where I was had regular gigs and seasons where I, you know, do other things. And right now, you know, it's really important for me to produce this material. And so I'm in the studio a lot, and and what I feel is most important for me at this point is to continue to create a demand all over the world for Miss Kristen music, and that's what our focus is. So, you know, we send out, like, the Hole in My Soul went out all over the world. We sent out CDs, you know, all over the world in a large way, and they went out to a lot of the stations, you know, and we're getting some good airplay and exposure right now. And we do this every year with every collection, and so it's something that grows in a you know, in a gradual form, and it's really doing great. I'm really blessed, and I'm just right now my focus is to continue with this next collection. I just love producing, I guess.
That
so.
Is awesome, and it's neat
yeah.
that
very good.
It's neat that you describe yourself as a woman who wears a lot of hats. It's obvious that you're in a great control of your company. That's awesome, and I just wanted mm-hmm. to mention that I love that purple hat with the yellow tassel.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that really unique?
it's absolutely adorable on you.
Thank you. Yeah, I met this lady who made hats, and she made them for Cher and all these stars, and she sold me a little collection of hats. So I have all sorts of fun hats, and I just love wearing them because I think that they add a lot of, you know, character and pizzazz sometimes, especially when you're having a bad hair day.
Oh, absolutely. Boy, they can save you when you're having a bad hair day. I've been there.
You're one of those on it, and everything's good, you know?
Yep. It's, I tried that once. I was having a really bad, bad, bad hair day, and I decided to wear a hat to the audition. And I'm just glad that it was a Western because I was wearing a cowboy hat.
Oh, sweet. Right. Yeah. So were you acting or were you doing music or what's your thing?
Acting. I'm an actor, yep.
Nice.
That's how I met Charlie. We met on the set of Edge of Darkness with Mel Gibson and Ray Winston, and we became very good, quick friends. She's an amazing lady, and she asked me if I could call in tonight and co-host, and honestly, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this, so I'm having a great time. I just hope she's not listening in and wincing, going, oh, God, Bill.
No. Oh, goodness, Bill. What are we going to do with you?
I don't know.
Now, she's off doing some filming for a movie that's going to be coming out probably within the next year or so.
Right.
So she had got a last-minute call to, because they wanted her to come in for the filming of the movie that's going to be coming out. And so she had asked me as well to do her a huge favor and a lot of times I don't do very well by myself. So we had to hit Bill up and see if Bill could come in with us and help us out this evening, because Charlie and I do the show together. And I'm not, I'm feeling okay tonight, but I haven't been, in general, I haven't been feeling well. But it is awesome to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
It's awesome that we have Bill with us too, because without Bill, I'd be having a hard time here, because I wouldn't know what question to ask, where to go, and all of that. So we're thankful to have good people to fill in.
It takes two. There you go. So, may I call you Kristen? Is that okay?
Please do. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kristen, have you ever thought about doing film?
You know what? I've had a lot of thoughts about doing Saturday Night Live and comedy and things like that. I'm not really that driven to do film. You know, I feel that, you know, it's better for me to focus my energies, since I do have a large catalog, just to keep my focus. And I have a great sense of purpose with what I'm doing, because, I believe that I was attained for such a time as this because people in the world are hurting right now, and there's a lot of stuff going on, and they have always been hurting. But what I'm trying to say is I feel that my music is comforting. And so there's a, you know, I have a sense of purpose in what I'm doing, okay? So it's like, for me, it's more about helping people by blessing them with some comfort and understanding and, and so I just keep my focus, and I would love to do Saturday Night Live or something like that, you know, in the time to come, you know, if the Lord is willing. But we'll see, you know, how things transpire, so.
Hey, comedy is great, and the fact that you love it just shows that you're a great person, so.
Oh,
and the reason I ask is you have a great look. I mean, you could model, you could act, you could do whatever you want, so I think it's great that you're doing the music thing.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really awesome that you say that. Thanks. I got good genes.
You got good genes. So,
my mom's all Greek, and I got Scandinavian and Swedish on the other side, so it's kind of unique.
So, it's great that you love to do what you do, the film, the music, and I love that you have a purpose, a sense of purpose about it. Can you tell the listeners out there? What, if you could pick one, I know there's usually a few, but if you could pick one, what's one of the best times you've had performing in front of a crowd or even just cutting a song?
This is going to sound kind of wild, but I had a really good time singing a song called It's Up to You at the Henry Miller Memorial Library in Big Sur, California. It was for an outdoor festival, and it just felt really good to sing out across the forest and the mountains, you know, right there. I don't know. And then another time that was really wonderful was in Honolulu, Hawaii, when I sang at the Pink Flamingo. No matter where you are, light comes shining through. And that was really exciting, too. So just a few miscellaneous, you know, events that I found myself, you know, participating in that really moved me.
That's awesome that they stick in your head, stick in your mind, you know. It was a good time. Honolulu, Hawaii, that is awesome. It must have been really nice out there in Hawaii.
It was gorgeous, and it was really exciting singing that song. Another time that was really fun, too, I was in Puerto Vallarta singing on a boat for all the people on the boat. You know, the guys asked me to come up and sing, and it was really fun. But I had so much fun that I forgot that I was not supposed to eat the food or drink the ice. So when I got done, I was so excited, like, you know, I don't know. I was just kind of on a high. And I took a bite of something, and like 24 hours later, I had Montezuma's Revenge.
Oh, man.
But it was a good gig. It was fun.
That's awesome. Could have been a little better, but it's great that you had a good time. Puerto Vallarta, that's pretty neat. So you've been all over the place. That's really great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Had some fun stuff, adventures.
And if you're three hours behind us, you must be in California?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Nice. I got some friends out there.
Oh, sweet.
I got to go out there a few years ago a film, what do you call it? Not a casting call, not an audition, a screen test for After Dark Films. Eight films to die for. It was a lot of fun. I met a really, really great bunch of people out there. I had a good time, so I liked it out there. It was nice. The weather was really, really nice out there.
Right. I planted my garden today. I stuck some seeds in the ground and got my tomatoes, my lettuce, and cucumbers going. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
We're looking forward to that here. In about a month, we'll be able to plant our garden once the ground thaws out.
Right.
I'm actually calling you from Maine. I'm way over here in Maine. I'm on the other side.
Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah.
So,
and Mountain Man / Chris is from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Awesome.
So
way on the other side.
Yeah, other
yep.
side. So I love that you picked a couple of three things for your favorite performances. Do you think you could share with the people out there what was your absolute worst time performing on stage?
Well, I would say worst time, that would have to be, I had a regular gig for a long time every Friday night, which was really a good gig, but every now and then you'd have a night that wasn't so good, you know? And, my worst time might have been at the, I forget what it's called. It's in San Francisco. I had a time down there off Bryan Street where I was like the last one on, and it was just rough because a lot of people had left, and, you know, I didn't really like that very much. So,
yeah. Yeah. And
I was
tired
by then.
Sure, yeah. It's one of those times, you know, you kind of remember it. You remember the good times, mm-hmm. you always remember the worst times.
Right.
One of those things. Have you ever done anything like lost your voice while on stage or the next day?
Oh, no. Not that I can remember.
So you just got great mm-hmm. genes. You're amazing.
Well, to be honest with you, it's like, it's kind of weird when you write your own songs. It's like if I were going up and trying to sing a Whitney Houston song or something like that, you know, I might have, you know, some issues. But, I mean, you know, some songs are harder to sing than others, okay? But when they're yours, somehow, you know, they come out, you know?
Right.
It's like,
right.
you know, you're feeling them, they're you, they're inside you, and then they're coming out. So I feel that, you know, I haven't really lost my voice or had too much difficulty that way. And as the years go by, you know, I've actually become a stronger singer and I've become more open. My voice has more depth and it actually has gotten easier. So
nice. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Good. I'm lucky because I have kind of a good range, too. I mean, I sing kind of low sometimes, but then I can get up pretty high. And my voice is kind of like where some people, this is what I compare it to or describe it as, is some people, when they hear my voice, they either love it or they're repelled by it at first, okay? And it's the same thing that occurred with Neil Young, with Tom Petty, with Bob Dylan.
I mean,
all the great artists, they have a unique voice, and at first people go, ooh, even Elton John, you know, people would go, ooh. You know,
yeah.
they didn't like his voice at first, you know.
Right.
But then
right.
all of a sudden, yeah, it becomes endearing. And all of a sudden, they fall in love with it. And
right.
I feel that I'm like that a lot. Like, my voice is like where some people will go, oh, it's really weird. I don't know. It's not really pleasing. And I've even had a radio programmer say that to me once before. And I just told him, you know, I said, yep, I'm just like Tom Petty or Neil Young or someone like that, you know, and you're going to love me one day.
Okay.
I'm going to grow on you, buddy. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you've got one new fan in Bill because I absolutely love your voice. I love it. It's just, it's rich, it's deep, and I think it's awesome.
It's unique. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you compare it to anybody? Have you ever heard anyone with this voice? I don't know any other artists.
In song, no. In song, yes, but not anyone you would know. It's just a lady up here in Maine that sings folk songs, and you have a very similar voice. Yeah, very, very similar voice, but it's not in acting, not in singing, but in acting, like.
I see. More like show tunes or something.
Well, no. This one lady sounds very much like you. She's a singer, but if I was to compare you to an actress, someone famous that people would know, I would say the kind of voice like Meg Tilly has.
Okay, and like I would, like I've often described my voice as being a little bit like maybe a Grace Slick, or
yes, very much, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Or Carly Simon. Yeah, Carly Simon, Christine McVie, someone like that. But really, to be honest with you, I've never heard anybody sound like my voice. And so when people always ask, well, who do you sound like, I'm stumped. And so I say, Miss Kristen, there is no one else who I sound like that I can really, you know, it's hard for me to describe my voice.
I could hear you singing like Change in Pocket or Middle of the Road. Yeah, I could hear that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Chrissy Hynde, The Pretenders?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, while we still have a little bit of time and while we still have all of us on, I think I'm going to take this moment and play this song,
awesome.
If you don't mind, is... Can You See by Miss Kristen.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Get in my eyes, can you see a light that shines when you look through me? The light in my life, you hold the key for me, baby.
That is an awesome, awesome song.
Thank you so much.
After hearing that song now, I can really understand what you were saying about it earlier, and I understand it 100% because
awesome.
I I've had so many things happen in my life, and I'm thankful for the person who I am seeing right now, but that song absolutely blows me away.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. Yeah.
And I've heard a couple of other I did look at your page as well earlier this afternoon, and I like the one that you did for Japan. And
you watched the video?
I did see the video, the YouTube, and that was awesome. That was awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say where all the proceeds for that song go to the Japan Tsunami Relief Fund, and that song was created especially for after that tragedy. I felt that, you know, I had a song in my catalog that I had worked on regarding Chernobyl, and I thought, you know, now is the time to bring this out and you know, help people, so get the message about nuclear awareness. So, you know, I'm just really blessed with that one, and I'm hoping that that spreads around like wildfire a bit, you know, and reaches people so that, you know, we get the word out.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I saw your page, I looked at the video, I did listen to that song, I am going to go back to your page later myself and look at a few other pieces that you have there and stuff. Kristen, I can't believe the time has flown.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got about 8 minutes left and we can still go tell our hearts content until the end of the show, but it's just been a phenomenal time, and you are such an amazing artist.
Thank you. Well, it's true love for me. So, you know, when you know, as a person who just really feels, you know, the sense of purpose and the love to, like, create for, you know, just to make the world a better place and to feel like, you know, just blessing people, creating music that's positive, okay? Because there's a lot of music out there right now that's negative. I'm a sensitive spirit, you know. I don't like listening to offensive lyrics. I'm really sensitive that way. I'm really kind of I'm real, you know. I have a side of me that, you know, is kind of, you know, I'm a little streetwise. I have no problem with it, but I think that there's nice ways to do it. To say real things, you know. So anyways, my point is that, you know, it's important for me to bring positive music and help the world be a better place, and also just, you know, just to remember everyday people, too, and it's not always about, you know, all the fake stuff, the bling and the money and everything else. It's more about real stuff. So that's my purpose.
That's a great thing to have. I mean, I agree. Why not make the world a better place to be? And why would you want to be in a world that just sucks?
It's something in this time. Every day on the news, you know, we hear all this stuff and things are happening around the world. People are hurting, you know. And are we going to sit there and just be like self-absorbed and just sit there and think that, you know, it's okay just to go around and talk about, you know, this hoe and that hoe? I don't really like it. You know what I mean? It's like, for me, there's better things to sing about, you know, but there's sweetness to be tapped into. You know what I mean? It's like, like, even a lot of that, I love music. I love hip hop. I love R&B. I love all music, but I say, let's tap into the sweetness of it. Let's not get into where it's offensive. I don't think there's any reason why we should be offending other people, you know? And and so for me, that's my personal opinion. And I feel that music is a vehicle to change the world. I think every great artist comes along for a time and helps change the world. Madonna did it. Pat Benatar had her time. Everybody has their time, you know, where they're making a difference in the world and they have a message. Like when Madonna came out, it was Papa Don't Preach. And it was all the, you know, freedom of, like, being pregnant out of wedlock and whatever, you know. And, you know, and then being, you know, who she was, you know. And you know, I just think that, you know, with every time, there's great artists that express themselves in a way that helps other people through that time, you know. And
right.
that's
right.
The way I think, like, you know, I'm going to be a light to people. I don't want to be, you know, anything less.
Well, that's a good thing to aspire to. So your company, is it called Big Flux Records?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's Miss Kristen, Big Flux Records.
That's right.
I watched a video earlier. No matter where you are.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good video. I saw that on YouTube.
Right.
I see you play the guitar, and you play it very well.
Yeah, I'm actually a multi-instrumentalist. I play keyboards, I play guitar, I can play bass. I do a lot of my own drum programming. In fact, on Face to Face with Nuclear Waste, I play all the instruments. There's no one else on there but me. So I produced it, played the instruments, sang it, mixed it, mastered it. It's a one-woman show. But you know what? It makes me feel good that I can be like that, because another thing that really turns me on is the Dalai Lama and self-sufficiency and things like that. You know, the more self-sufficient we are, the more we can do, you know. And I like being self-sufficient. You know, I like help too, but I like being able to do what I can do on my own as well. So I'm not dependent on someone else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, you know, I mean, there's always a balance that we walk in that way, you know, as people. So.
Sure. Is there anybody out there that you'd like to shout out to tonight?
My friend is over in Connecticut right now, Nancy Ora Carrier. She's helping her mom, who's not feeling well, so I'll give a shout out to her. Give a shout out to my mom in Springfield, Illinois, and a shout out to Tom Landry in California, and shout out to all my fans, and just say thanks for listening. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for supporting Miss Kristen Music and buying the music and telling your friends about it, because it means everything to me that you enjoy it. And so thank you very much.
Wow.
Well,
now, where can people look you up, and if they want to get in touch with you and all that good stuff?
MissKristen.com. It's spelled MissKristin.com. And you can find me on Facebook. Just do a search for Miss Kristen. You'll find me there. And you can always find me, let me see, where else? MySpace. I frequent those places. So.
You've got a variety of places you frequent.
Right. I'm kind of a little bit of a computer geek. I'm a little bit of an internet junkie, a little bit, you know, because I do run a business. I do a lot of work online, so I do check into my, you know, music sites and stuff and update things and, you know, hear from people. So, feel, you know, I just love it when they write and comment, too, especially at Facebook, because I really do spend more time there. So my Facebook page is facebook.com. Number one, Miss Kristen. So that's how they can follow me or fan me on Facebook.
Well, that is awesome. Well, Kristen, we've only got about 80 seconds here. So thank you very much. And
You're welcome.
We haven't covered everything that you've done. And I'm sure we will most likely have you back at a later date. So
no problem. Thank you
very much, and you have a great evening.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, you too. Okay.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you, Miss Kristen.
Nice to meet you, Bill. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now, is there a place we can download this interview for anyone? Or is that...
Yes, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio website
and do a search or something?
Yeah, and do a search for Ordinary Woman, and you can download the player for our show.
Yeah, it works really well. I've downloaded a few, so it's very easy. Just go in, go to Blog Talk Radio, and then Ordinary Woman, and then just find your interview.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay.
Well, you're very welcome.
You
well, everyone,
have a great
thank
one.
You. Thank you. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us here on the Blog Talk Radio Ordinary Woman Show. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye.